Thank you. That was beautiful. I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts. We're going to be reading from Acts chapter 2 and verses 40 to 47. That's our scripture today, Acts 2, 40 to 47. And I'll be reading from the New International Version. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for the Sabbath. We know that it's a memorial of creation, that you created us, and therefore we are yours. But we turned our back on you, and we sinned. You came, you lived among us, became one of us, lived and died to save us, and so you bought us back. And soon you're coming to take us home, Lord, and we want to be ready. We pray for our church that we will stand firm for you, that we will always follow your will for our lives. We pray for those that can't be here today, that you will bless them wherever they may be, our church members, our families, keep them safe, give them peace. We pray for those that are not well, that you will touch them, take away their pain, and heal them, Lord, is our desire. And we pray for Eurydice today, that as he speaks to us, that you will speak through him to our hearts, that each one of us will leave this place to be a blessing to those that we come in contact with through the rest of this week. In Jesus' name we pray, and your will be done in all things. Amen.
Morning, church. Once again, happy Sabbath. I sound a little bit funny, don't I? This thing. I think I also look a little bit funny, so don't you dare to laugh. It's okay, you can do it. The sermon for today, Better Together. And this morning I asked my wife, does this expression, because, you know, I speak Spanish, and sometimes I don't actually know the meaning of things, and I ask her, does this expression only mean, that, like, only has a romantic connotation, or is that appropriate to say that we're, as a church, as brothers and sisters in Christ, are better together? And so this is the message I want to deliver today. Are we really better together as Christians? Are we really better together as Seventh-day Adventists who come to congregate every Sabbath to the temple to worship God? They will know we're Christians by our love. And believe me, as I was preparing this sermon, I had that song going through my head all the time. We are one in the Spirit. We're one in the Lord. And it's so nice to think about unity. And something I experienced myself as I was growing up in the orphanage was that we had something that was called the Family Olympics. In the Family Olympics, you know, the orphanage was set up or divided into families, and children between 1 and 14, 15-year-old are in one family, and then once you turn 16, you go to the dorm. So we had our different families, and we had this exciting competition that will usually be during spring break, which is also happened to be Easter week in my country. So we had fun as children. We had fun celebrating the Olympics Games. And the goal was to help the families to come together and to have unity. And so I remember one of them Olympics that they said, okay, well, now we're going to have this special requirement, and we're going to give you a special prize if you remain together, like if you show us unity. And so we got really excited, and I was like, you know how we can win? We have to hold hands. Like if we're walking down the street, going to the event or whatever, we have to go holding our hands. And we have to sit together. And we have to remain together. And if someone is going to the restroom, let's just go all together. So we did that. And we were like stuck like glue, like going together everywhere. And the judges were like, seriously, people, are you doing this? We won first place in unity. We probably got like third place in general. But in that specific event, we won first place. And it was really hard to compete against the guys in the dorms because they were old and, you know, the ladies as well. So I remember that later they decided to separate so the kids' families were competing and then the dorms, you know, the guys versus the girls. So it was really hard to keep unity, because some of the guys were in love with the girls. Obviously, they didn't want to make them lose. So we had to lose because they wanted the ladies to win. But we really learned to work together as a family. If we wanted the prize would usually be a trip to the beach or a trip to the pizza place and eat some good pizza or something like that. So you really had to work together if you wanted the prize. And we learned about unity with that. In fact, I found a picture. I'm not in the picture, but there's two of the kids who used to live with Hannah and I, Antonio and Marva. The rest of them are new because this is 2014 and I was out of there by that time. But it was really nice that I at least got this picture. I wish I could have found a picture when I was participating. There was one that they had an event eating donuts. They were hanging donuts, and each family had to send someone to represent. And the first one eating the donut, you know, will win. I lost terribly. But that was a funny picture. It's somewhere I couldn't find it. So I had good memories on that, and I learned a good lesson, unity. So what does the Bible tell us about unity in the church? What is a good lesson that we can learn as a church? Something that we can take and something that we can practice when we come together to church. Before we go into a scripture, let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask for your presence and your Holy Spirit. May you be with us as we open the Bible and we talk about unity in the church, and may our minds and hearts be ready to receive your truth in this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's go to our scripture for today, Acts chapter 2, verses 40 to 47. And let's read. It says, with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, notice that highlighted word, fellowship, so they were together, in the breaking of the bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And I say amen. This is the word of God. And this is what is what's being used in the past couple of years. Pastor Dunn has been, you know, used this to show us about, teach us about grow groups and triads and how we need to get together and how we need to pray together. So it is really important for us to notice that the Bible makes an emphasis in being together and having things in common and with one accord. Like, the Bible is clear about that. We don't have to be confused whether do we have to agree on everything? Well, probably we don't have to agree on everything because we're going to have disagreements, and we're going to see this later in the sermon. But the idea, the principle of unity in the church is clear throughout the Bible. So things that we're going to be seeing today about unity. We're going to see the importance of unity in the Bible. We're going to see the unity and that unity can only be achieved through the Holy Spirit. And that should be capitalized. I apologize for those two. And the Holy Spirit does not cause division, but causes unity. So, importance of unity in the Bible. Let's go to Genesis, the very first book in the Bible. You open your Bible in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And when God is creating, we find the example that God says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness." Notice the words. In our image and in our likeness. And I remember, I don't know if you remember, I don't remember if it was a sermon actually, but I think it was a devotional Kevin had. It was titled Plurality, I can't speak English today, my goodness. Plurality and Individuality. And he was teaching us about God being one and at the same time being different persons. And each one of those persons playing an important role. And we can see that example since the very beginning in the Bible, in creation. God said, let us, who was he talking to? Who is us? There must be someone else who is important. And that we know as the deity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that's one of our beliefs as Adventists. You can go to the Adventist beliefs and you can find that one. We believe in God being three persons. And Genesis talks about it. And very often, we are going to find throughout the Bible that God doesn't act by himself. He usually acts together. The three of them having important parts in the same event, but they act together, like in creation. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Then Genesis 2:24, next chapter, says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one, what? Flesh. So we see the principle again. And now we don't see it in the divinity of God, but we can see it in humanity. After God created, he intended for humans to stay together and for man and woman to become one. The principle of unity. Next, we find in Genesis 11, and this is not the good example, but it's an example, but it's not a good example of unity. Chapter 11, when we find the Tower of Babel in here, verse 4, and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Remember, this is happening right after the flood, that men came together and they feared that they will be destroyed again. So they were together because they felt the need of becoming stronger against that thing that caused fear. And that's something important that we can learn today about unity. is that when humanity come together, when men really come together, they have power. Look at what the verse keeps saying. Verse 6, same chapter. The Lord said, indeed, the people are what? Are one. So God realized that they had really come together based on fear caused by the flood, after the flood. And so, because they were together, trying to stay together and to become just one against God, he said, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Do you realize the power that we have as a church when we come together? Do you realize the power that people outside of the church have when they come together? Do we realize the power that we have if we use unity, that precious gift that God has given us? We see God saying it here. Nothing will be withheld from them. Nothing that they propose. He keeps saying, come, let us, again, what we saw at the beginning in creation when God said, let us make man, let us create man. He said, now let us go down and therefore confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. And that was God's solution to their bad example of unity that we're not taking today. But we can see the importance of using unity. And we can keep doing this throughout the Bible, but we don't have the time. If we keep looking, we're going to find that concept of unity throughout, that theme of unity throughout the whole Bible. And we can see the importance of it. And so it's for us to think, are we really better together? Do we have power if we come together as a Christian community, as Seventh-day Adventists? If we decide to come really together and put our differences apart and pray, do you think we'll have power to do the things that we need to accomplish? To preach the gospel, to lift Jesus up so the whole world can see it? Yes, we can do it if we pray and let the Holy Spirit do it through us. So it's really important to have unity. Now, unity, as we're seeing it, the good example, can only be achieved through the Holy Spirit. Because guess what? We're human. And each person thinks differently. And so we have our differences. And we have different ideas, and we sometimes have different ways of doing things. And that is a downfall for us, because when we come together and we want to achieve something, all of those presuppositions that we come with to this group get in the way of us achieving unity. And so it's hard for us as humans to put aside our pride first and our own ideas or our own experiences that we bring into our groups, so we can come to agreements and we can work together as human beings and as Christians. And so therefore, there's no such a thing as coming together and doing things together. We can do it because the people in the Tower of Babel, they work together based on fear. But when we come together to preach this gospel, as Christians, we need the Holy Spirit if we want to succeed. What happened with the apostles after they received the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2? Do you think everything was perfect and that they were like only agreeing in everything and that everything was easy just because they had received that early rain of the Holy Spirit in the upper room? That meant something. We need to ask for the rain of the Holy Spirit every day. They needed the reign of the Holy Spirit not only then when it first came, but then every day after that, they needed to request that portion of the Holy Spirit so they could keep going with their mission. And so the example, we can find it in Acts chapter 10, verse 9. There will be disagreements just as the disciples had. Acts chapter 10, verse 9, Peter had the vision where God told him, eat, kill, and eat. So Peter was really confused about this whole thing. But what was the disagreement? People thought that the Gentiles didn't deserve salvation and that them as Jews couldn't, you know, mix with them because this was a sin, and so they were rejecting. And they had this disagreement going on. The people on the side of the Judaism, they have their reasons, and the people who received the truth, like Peter, they also had their reasons. So there was a disagreement. But the Holy Spirit was working through to solve this problem with them. And so Peter received this vision. In verse 44, the Holy Spirit descends upon the Gentiles. And if you can open the Bible, Acts chapter 10, verse 44, let's see it. And let's see what happened while they were having the disagreement. Verse 44, chapter 10 says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized, who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. So what is it that we're seeing here? The disciples are still arguing among them. Should we mix with the Gentiles? Should we talk to them? Should we preach this gospel to them? We should not, because our Jews' laws tells us to not do that. And that is a sin. Then the Holy Spirit, God through the Holy Spirit, gives Peter this vision of the animal, which Peter doesn't understand. But then God through the Holy Spirit, the angel, explains it to him. What I'm trying to tell you is that what I call holy, you cannot call it unclean. Now go and preach to those people. The rest of the disciples don't know that. He goes and preaches. And what happens with the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit descends. And later, in chapter 11, verse 18, Peter then explains the vision, and they have a common understanding, and they come to an agreement. When they're trying to, Peter, what are you doing? What is this thing about the Holy Spirit falling upon the Gentiles? We have never heard about this. Like, we thought that was a sin. And then Peter proceeds to explain the vision to them. So God showed me this and this and showed me the animals and I refused to eat. And then he told me not to call unclean when he has already clean. And that had nothing to do with the food, but with the people. And so we see how God used the Holy Spirit to help the disciples come together in unity and have an agreement in the middle of their problem. And so it's the same thing with us in the church today. We may have disagreements. We may have different opinions because, again, we're humans. And it's really hard, as I said at the beginning, for us to put our differences and our thoughts on the side so we can really come together. But if we really want the reign of the Holy Spirit, we must do that. Just as the disciples did, as we saw on our scripture in Acts chapter 2, they had all things in common. They came together, put their differences on the side, and prayed, and the Holy Spirit descended upon them. The Holy Spirit does not cause division, but causes unity. If we go to Acts chapter 2 again, but this time we go to the very first verse. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. How were they? All with one accord in one place. And suddenly, while they were together, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And verse 4 says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the ability to. So what we see here is that it's really important for us to use the power of unity that we saw at the beginning. When we use that and we come together, besides our different opinions, and we put those apart, and we congregate and pray and ask God for the power of the Holy Spirit, God is going to help us to go through all our differences, and the Holy Spirit is going to descend upon us. And so, this is an experience I had. I was having this conversation with someone years ago before moving to the States, where we were talking about the latter rain of the Holy Spirit. And that person was saying that when the latter rain falls, then people within the church, they're going to separate because they will realize that the church is doing things that are wrong. And so they're going to find their own way, and they're going to go to the mountains, and they're going to buy their houses. And I was like, you know what? That's not what the Bible tells me. The principle that we are seeing and that we're learning is that when the Holy Spirit comes, there's not division, but there's what? Unity. And I had a quote from Ellen White supporting this, and I couldn't find it. I tried really hard, but I couldn't find it, where she explains it. When the latter rain falls, there's not going to be a sign of division, but of unity. We're going to see the church united together as one. If one day I happen to find it, I'll give you the quote. But in the meantime, I was reading this book for this sermon, and so this is going to be your homework. You don't have to report it back, but this is your homework going to take home. If you have the book Last Day Events in your house, please, please, I'm going to ask you today, don't just leave today after this sermon. But go home, grab this book, and read the chapter entitled "The Latter Rain." It's chapter 13, "The Latter Rain." And so, as I was reading, because I was just looking for a quote to kind of like close my sermon, and it was really hard because I read this paragraph and it's so good. And then I read the other one. Well, this one is even better. And then I read the other one. Okay, this one wins. And then I read the other one. I couldn't decide because it's like the whole chapter is so good. And so that's why, please go home. Last Day Events, chapter 13, The Latter Rain. Read it. And you're going to find treasures that the Lord has for us in that chapter. And please don't watch the news, because sometimes we match this with the news, and those don't go together. Definitely don't go together. So just read this with prayer and reading the Bible, and that's all you need. Don't watch the news, because you're going to get crazy, believe me. So a couple of quotes, important quotes that I found in here. Number one, a revival of true godliness among us is the greatest and most urgent of all our needs. A revival of what? True godliness. To seek this should be our first work in the morning. This is a very popular quote. I'm pretty sure you have heard it before. There must be earnest effort to obtain the blessing of the Lord, not because God is not willing to bestow his blessings upon us, but because we are unprepared to receive it. Our Heavenly Father is more willing to give His Holy Spirit to them that ask Him than our earthly parents to give good gift to their children. And I want to see how many parents are here. Do you want to give your children good gifts? Yeah? In the same way you're willing to give this gift to your children, God is willing to give us His blessing, His Holy Spirit to us. The question is, are we willing to come together and pray for the Holy Spirit and pray for that gift that God is willing to give us today? Are we willing to sacrifice ourselves, to put ourselves on the side and give Jesus its rightful place in the center of our lives, in the center of our churches, in the center of our relationships, so He can give His Holy Spirit in these days that we need it? If we are willing to do that, then guess what? Our Heavenly Father is more willing to give us His Holy Spirit than we are willing to ask for it. And that is our main problem. Now, don't get me wrong. Quote keeps saying, but it is our work by confession, humiliation, repentance, and earnest prayer to fulfill the conditions upon which God has promised to grant us His blessing. A revival need be expected only in answer to what? To prayer. And if you remember one of my last sermons, our secret weapon that is no secret at all, prayer. We need to come and humble ourselves before God in prayer. And we need to do that individually first and repent. And then we need to come as a church and pray for the power of the Holy Spirit so we can accomplish our mission. And I just look around and I just keep thinking, what are we doing as Christians? What are we doing as the Seventh-day Adventist Church? What are we doing as Valley View specifically? And that's why I look back and I look at Pastor Don's and his effort to keep the triads going, to keep the grow groups growing, going. We see that we want to come together and pray for the Holy Spirit. And actually, what's going on today in the world might be the result of the reign of the Holy Spirit. Because Satan gets angry when he sees that the church comes together and pray and receives the Holy Spirit and we're working and doing what God wants us to do. Then he gets angry and chaos comes. So I don't doubt that Satan is just out there angry that we've been praying for the Holy Spirit. We as a church have been praying for the Holy Spirit. And God has given us His Holy Spirit. And so Satan gets angry. But now is the time for us to still keep asking for that extra portion of the Holy Spirit, that we come together and keep praying so that God can keep giving us that power every day. Another quote, when the laborers have an abiding Christ in their own souls, when all selfishness is dead, when there is no rivalry, no strife for the supremacy, when oneness exists, when they sanctify themselves so that love for one another is seen and felt, then the showers of the grace of the Holy Spirit will just as surely come upon them as that God's promise will never fail in one jot or title. But when the work of others is discounted, that the workers may show their own superiority, they prove that their own work does not bear the signature it should. God cannot what? God cannot bless them. But if you notice, when all of this happens, when there's oneness, when we sanctify ourselves so that the love for one another is seen and felt, then the grace of the Holy Spirit will surely come upon us. All of that is in here. So you can go and find it. And notice this also, I didn't put it in the, on screen, but it says, one of the paragraphs that also impacted me says, it was after the disciples had come into perfect unity, when they were no longer striving for the highest place, that the Holy Spirit was poured out. So are there going to be differences? Yes. Does unity have power? Yes. If we come together and put our differences on the side and pray, will God give us his power and his Holy Spirit? Yes. It's what we're seeing. Last quote to finish the sermon today. When the Holy Spirit controls the minds of our church members, there will be seen in our churches a much higher standard in speech, in ministry, and in spirituality than is now seen. The church members will be refreshed by the water of life, and the laborers working under one head, even Christ, will reveal their master in spirit, in word, in deed, and will encourage one another to press forward in the grand closing work in which we are engaged. There will be a healthy increase of unity and love, which will bear testimony to the world that God sent his Son to die for the redemption of sinners. Divine truth will be exalted, and as it is shined forth as a lamp that burneth, we shall understand it more and still more clearly. So God wants us to come together, to pray. And it's not all going to be about us coming together and about our unity, because that's great. But it's going to be about giving God, who sent his Son to die, the place he deserves. And what we're going to achieve by doing that is that the world is going to see Jesus. Because our unity, that work that we're going to do together as a church, as Christians, is not for people to praise, oh, wow, how beautiful that church united. And look at them doing everything together and holding their hands just as in the Olympic Games. That's not what people are going to see. But they're going to see Jesus. And when they see Jesus, they will find Jesus. Is that redundant? And when they find Jesus, they will come to Jesus and meet him and surrender to him. And isn't that our mission? So things that we saw today, importance of unity in the Bible, it's really important. We can see it. You can find multiple examples of it since the beginning to the end. Unity can only be achieved through the Holy Spirit, so we must pray for it. And the Holy Spirit does not cause division, but cause what? Unity. So whenever you find someone, know that the Holy Spirit is in here, and so we're separating, probably not the Holy Spirit. Look at the examples in the Bible. Look at what the spirit of prophecy says. Look what happens with the disciples when they had perfect unity. Then the Holy Spirit descended upon them. So dear brothers and sisters, dear Valley View Church, I pray in this morning that the Holy Spirit descend upon us, that we may put our differences apart, that we can forgive each other if we have offended each other, that we can come together as a Christian community and humble ourselves in front of the Lord so he can give us his Holy Spirit, so he can give us his power, so we can be true Christians and that people out there and that the world out there can see Jesus shining through us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in this morning and we are very thankful for your word, because you show us that unity is important. Because you show us that you want us to come together. You want us to pray. And that you are willing to give us your Holy Spirit. So we just pray, oh Father, that we can receive your Holy Spirit today. That we can achieve that unity in Christ that you want for your church to have, that we can put our differences apart, and as by doing that, we can just receive that latter rain of the Holy Spirit, and that your love can shine through us, oh Jesus, that the world can see you, that the world can be saved through our example, through our testimony. Thank you for giving us the chance of listening to your word, and please help us to practice. Help us to give you the center in our lives and give you the first place so we can accomplish our goals as Christians and just reach people for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.